Hello, everyone. Welcome to Minghui Radio, bringing you podcasts of stories relating to the persecution of Falun Gong in China, insights and experiences gained by practitioners during the course of their cultivation, special items of interest, and music composed and performed by DAFA practitioners.
The following is an experience-sharing article entitled Growing Up Amidst the Buddha's Light by a Falun Dafa practitioner in China. The article was published on the Minghui website on September 27, 2023. I began Falun Dafa cultivation practice at 17 years old and am now 42. During the 25 years of my cultivation, I have made several huge mistakes because of my attachments to the human world. Many times I lost confidence in myself. However, Master Li, Falun Dafa's founder, has never given up on me. He has protected me and encouraged through one test after another, even though they were very difficult to pass. Master gave me the strength to move forward so I could walk my cultivation path more and more rationally. Part 1. How I obtained Falun Dafa. Since childhood, I have often felt confused, depressed, and wondered what the meaning and goal of one's life might be. These thoughts often drove me to tears, and I felt very sad and wept whenever I was alone. I was in my first year of senior high school in 1997 when my roommate gave me a copy of Xuan Falun, the main book of Falun Dafa. As soon as I opened it and saw Master's picture, I began to cry. At that time, I didn't know why, and I just kept crying. But I felt that the person I was searching for my whole life was Master. After I finished reading Xuan Falun, I felt a deep and heavy weight lifted from my heart, and my mind was bright and cheerful. The joy of having hope deep in my heart made me an upbeat person every day. So I began to introduce Dafa to my classmates. When I was in senior high school and at university, I was always the most hardworking student in the dorm and did not care when I was taken advantage of by others. Sometimes I ran into conflicts with my roommates. Even though I didn't say anything to them, I couldn't let it go. I would feel upset and still struggled in my heart after the conflict was over with. At that time, I only had a shallow understanding of the Fa and did not do the exercises. I only knew that Dafa was good and tried to hold myself to the standards of the Fa. I wanted to be a good person. I also talked to people around me about the beauty of Dafa. This state lasted until 2012. At that time, I was married and had a child. I happened to listen to the cultivation story of Malaripa. It was as if I suddenly woke up. Hearing the word cultivation shocked me. I felt that I must cultivate and that the meaning of my life was to cultivate and return to my true self. This thought came from the most microscopic part of me and it felt like a wave hitting me from the outside. The microcosm of my life was strongly shaken. That night, Master opened all of my hundreds of energy channels. I felt very light. One wave of happiness after another spread throughout my body, and I felt like I would start floating. After that, Master cleansed my body. For about 2 weeks, I had a sore throat and coughed non-stop. My throat was swollen, and there was a thick layer of bloody, crusty scab around the circumference of my throat. In the end, I coughed up and spit out this crust, and my throat was fine. The first time I did the seated meditation, I was empowered by Master and sat in the full lotus position for an hour. I felt that, except for a black mass in my lower abdomen, my entire body had connected as one to become transparent. When I entered into tranquility, I heard music from another dimension and a scene appeared before my eyes. Master was lecturing from a higher place. Below him, there were so many Buddhas sitting there that one couldn't see the end of them. They all wore yellow robes and had curly hair. I was one of them. Every one of us was attentively listening to Master's lecture. The benevolent and compassionate immense power shocked me upon seeing this, and my face was covered with tears. When the music stopped, I came back to simply meditating there. Part 2, A Tribulation. After I returned to cultivation, I realized the importance of saving sentient beings, so I began to hand out Dhaffa materials. However, it is important to study the Fa and cultivate oneself well, and I didn't solidly cultivate. Having only a regular person's courage to do things, I ended up being taken advantage of by the evil. Master saw the danger approaching me. He had other practitioners remind me time after time, "Calm down. Having just begun to walk, don't worry about running yet." In July 2012, I was arrested and my home was ransacked. On the day I was arrested, I had an extremely bad headache. After I finished handing out my flyers, an idea came to me, "Go quickly." However, I didn't pay attention to it and ended up being arrested. At the detention centre, I said to Master deep down, "Master, I was wrong. I must leave here. Then I could study the Farwell and save more sentient beings." One day, at noontime, I heard Dhaffa music and saw Master in white clothes doing a great hand gesture in my dream, and I then learned that ice cream bars would be served that afternoon. It was summertime and very hot. The temperature in my room was over 86 degrees. We really were given ice cream bars in the afternoon, which was unprecedented. I knew Master was by my side to safeguard me. At that time, the number 27 was often in my mind. It turned out that I was indeed released on the 27th day of my illegal detention. After I was released from the detention centre, my family confiscated my Dhaffa books and didn't allow me to communicate with other practitioners. My parents even knelt down in front of me, were in tears, and begged me not to practice Dhaffa anymore. They also tried to convince me to follow Buddhism. My husband threatened to divorce me. He also watched me every night. If I got up to do the exercises, he'd beat me. I said to Master deep down, "Master, I'll make the breakthrough. Otherwise, my family will have no future. I must pull myself together." It took a couple of years. Under Master's benevolent protection, I resumed a normal cultivation environment. At that point, no one cared if I studied the Fa or did the exercises. Part 3, Cultivating Among My Family. My mother-in-law lost her mother when she was a teenager. She began to look after her younger brother and sisters when she was 17 years old. She also had an unfortunate marriage. When her son was 7 years old, her husband had an affair with another woman. After she found out about it, she divorced him after a big fight. Her ex-husband won custody of her son, and she moved to the city and lived by herself. After that, she married my father-in-law and had a son who became my husband. My father-in-law had also been married before. He had a daughter whom his ex-wife looked after. My mother-in-law was a strong woman and always wanted to come out on top, no matter the situation. However, things didn't go as she wished, and her marriage to my father-in-law was also unfortunate and ended in divorce. Later, my mother-in-law developed breast cancer and had to have her right breast removed. After the misfortune of her second marriage and her terminal illness, she became hypersensitive and suspicious. If anyone crossed her, she would go crazy and would say anything, no matter how unpleasant, to relieve her anger, without any regard for other people's feelings. My husband and I got married after dating for 6 months. During that time, my mother-in-law treated me very well. It wasn't until after our marriage that I realized she was like this. For instance, if she didn't like something I had in my house, she'd simply throw it away without asking me. During my pregnancy, she'd call me at work to curse at me over some petty thing or other. She also encouraged my husband to hit and swear at me. In addition, she always looked down on my parents and said bad things about them so that my husband, who had always disliked them, treated them like enemies and had showed them no respect. We moved to a new house in 2016. For the past 30 years, my mother-in-law had lived in a tiny 450-square-foot apartment, so I decided to give my old house to her. It was more than twice as big, about 1,000 square feet, and had furniture, appliances, fitness equipment, and was close to the bus and subway. Even with all I had done for her, she still did not appreciate it. Moreover, she listened to other people's rumours and ridiculed me. Even though deep inside I felt wronged, when I thought about Master's teachings and remembered that I am a practitioner, I was able to endure my mother-in-law's unreasonable behaviour. Moreover, I spoke to her kindly and truly thought of her first. I was happy that she had a more spacious apartment and I hoped she would enjoy her life. When she suffered from an eye disease, I went with her to have surgery. I also took the initiative to book an appointment for her at a famous hospital in Beijing and took out 20,000 yuan for my husband to take her and pay for it. I've had many severe conflicts with her during the past 10 plus years. Sometimes I couldn't let go of them deep down. I felt indignant and wronged. However, inspired by Duffer's principles, my resentment melted away bit by bit. By following the requirements of the Fa, I kept elevating my Xingqing, changing myself and treating her kindly. Recently, when I am with my mother-in-law, we're just like mother and daughter. She'd tell me about anything that's on her mind. She also often praised me in front of others. Other people told her that she must have had good fortune, having such a wonderful daughter-in-law. From me, she also got to see that Duffer practitioners are all good people. She went from not acknowledging Duffer in the beginning to listening to Master's lectures from time to time. Part 4. Clarifying the truth at work. At work, I dealt with many clients. I never took any bribes, nor was I difficult with any of them. Instead, I held myself to the standard of a practitioner. Thus, I had a good reputation among my clients. I also took the opportunity to clarify the truth to them. Almost every single one of my clients have decided to quit the Chinese Communist Party, CCP, and its youth organizations so as to choose a bright future for themselves. During my interactions with colleagues, often enough, I conducted myself according to the FAR's requirements. I never fought for my personal interests, which gained the trust of my managers. My previous managers had learned the truth about Duffer and quit the Chinese Communist Party. As for my current manager, I haven't been able to thoroughly clarify the truth to her. Because she still has some misunderstandings about Duffer, I put together a truth clarification letter for her so she could be saved. Thinking back upon my cultivation, the entire path has been rough. Without Master's benevolent protection, I would have gotten lost in the human world. The despair of being stuck in the quagmire of this world countless times made me give up on the idea of survival. It was Master who never gave up on me. He gave me light and strength in the darkness and helped me regain my confidence. Master made me aware of the responsibilities I shoulder to diligently march forward on the road of helping Master rectify the Fa. Thank you, Master.
The following is an experience sharing article entitled Not Letting Selfishness Hide by a Falun Dafa practitioner in China. The article was published on the Minghui website on October 18, 2023. As the Fa rectification progresses, there is less time left for Dafa practitioners to cultivate and awaken people. I haven't slacked off and have been diligently doing the three things. However, I recently felt that I had slowed down in improving my character to the point that I was stagnating and I wasn't able to eliminate my attachments. Sometimes I even felt inferior and sad. I searched inward and found attachments to self-interest and emotion, but I couldn't figure out the core of the attachments. Sending righteous thoughts didn't help much either. I listened to several sharing articles about eliminating selfishness and discovered that many of my thoughts and actions stemmed from my ego and the attachment to self. I realized I was cultivating in a superficial manner. I own an old apartment and rented it out last year to several young men working at a restaurant. The restaurant owner assured me that if they messed up or damaged the place, he would handle it. Part 1. Trapped in selfishness of the old universe. Not long ago, the occupant of the downstairs apartment told me that her kitchen ceiling was leaking, and she suspected that a pipe in my unit must be broken. I had a plumber check the kitchen, but he couldn't find any problem. He tore open the ceiling downstairs and determined there wasn't an issue with the pipes. When he returned to my unit, he found water all over the kitchen floor, and it was seeping into the neighbor's ceiling. I told my tenants, "You had water all over the floor that leaked into the unit downstairs. I won't tell your boss about this, since it's the first such occurrence, and I won't charge you for the repairs. However, I will speak with your boss if this happens again." The neighbor called 2 weeks later. "There's water coming from the ceiling again." I was furious and thought, "These young people have no class. I forgave them once, and now they are causing the same problems again." I called their boss, but no one answered. I became even more upset and thought, "Why isn't he answering my call? I'm going to the restaurant to talk with him. I shouldn't have rented the place to those young men." I then thought, "I'm a practitioner, yet I'm getting so worked up. I must not be cultivating well." Although I tried to control myself and didn't go to see the restaurant owner, my anger kept flaring up from time to time. My thoughts went back and forth between good and bad. It wasn't until I listened to a practitioner's sharing on selfishness that I realized I had been trapped in the selfishness of the old universe, unable to break through and break free. I was suffering so much, I couldn't assimilate to Dafa. I looked inside and found several things. I didn't put others first, and I only thought about my own interests and feelings. I had called the restaurant owner at noon, the busiest time. I didn't think of his situation and only cared about how I was feeling. I thought my tenants had no class because they caused trouble for me. I didn't take into consideration that restaurant work is hard and they are still young and were just having fun. I also wasn't considerate of the person living downstairs. Although my tone of voice was nice when she called, I was annoyed that she called and didn't deal with the problem herself. How could I feel annoyed at her when it was my tenants that caused the problem? All of my thoughts were selfish. Instead of eliminating my attachments, I wanted others to change to conform to my needs. That is the old forces' way of doing things. It was awful that my cultivation had been at a standstill for so long. Part 2. Rectified on FAR principles. I decided to get rid of my selfishness, rectify myself based on the FAR principles, and deal with the problem with righteous thoughts. My outlook brightened after finding a solution to my problem. After recognizing my selfishness, I realized that many trivial issues contained elements of selfishness. A few nights ago, practitioners came by to study the FAR. Lynn brought a package of DAFA informational materials and wanted to distribute them with me in the morning. Before leaving, Bing asked if she could take some materials. Lynn said, "We don't have a lot of materials, so please don't take too much." I thought, Lynn didn't bring that many materials today, and I plan to distribute more tomorrow on a certain street. If I don't have enough for that street, I will have to go back there later. I didn't want to be inconvenienced and didn't feel like doing more than I had to. Why did I have this selfish thought? DAFA materials are for all practitioners to use for the purpose of awakening people. How could I bring my selfishness into this sacred mission? Would that affect my efforts to awaken people? Thus, I sent righteous thoughts to dissolve my selfishness. I ran out of purified water at home a few times, so I had my son fetch water after he came home from a ball game. He was sweaty, but I still wanted him to get the water. I realized I was being selfish.
My son is not a lazy person, and I wanted him to be more disciplined. I had those thoughts as an excuse for not getting the water myself. It was hot outside, and I didn't want to do it. I had to make breakfast and wanted to listen to a practitioner's sharing on Minghui Radio. It was all about me. There are no minor issues in cultivation. Although he is my son, he is also a sentient being. I don't want to pamper him, but I should also be considerate of him and do more myself. So one morning, while wearing earphones and listening to practitioners sharing, I fetched the water. Not coincidentally, the sharing was about eliminating selfishness. I felt the sun emerge from the clouds, and my heart was peaceful and calm.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.